Welcome back to 80s Pop Tops. Sorry for my couple week vacation. I was taking care of some things and was just taking a few weeks off to get some things in order. I have decided from now on when I do these countdowns, I will be playing the entire song, or at least until the podcast gods tell me that I'm not allowed to. So I will announce each song beforehand and then play the full song. Of course, you are more than willing or able to skip to the end if it's a song you don't like, because as I said, these will be from the charts themselves, unless it's my special episodes where I would pick songs that I personally have something to do. So this week we will be covering November 1980. And now this is coming towards the end of the first year of the 1980. There's a couple big ones here, so it'll be this one and then our year-long follow-up at the end and right after my next breakdown episode afterwards. So here we are, November of 1980. We are going to start with number five. This is Diana Ross and another song from her. We had just heard her number one, Upside Down, and this is her next follow-up. This is I'm Coming Out. This was produced by Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards of Chic. She asked for their help after seeing them in concert and really wanted them to help her get this song done. This would peak at its position it is right now at number five. She wanted them to do the song, and from things I've heard, after hearing the mix that they finally put together, she was not happy with the way her vocals were handled and went back and changed them to the song that you'll hear now. It was also when she found out that coming out had a different meaning that she wasn't aware of, she ran back to Nile Rodgers and said, "Why are you trying to ruin my career?" So she didn't really understand. She took it as, I mean, she's coming out of her Motown contract and was now going to be her own woman and was going to be her own artist and have everything that meant to her. This has different meanings for the LGBTQ community because this is what they would say when they were coming out, and this is what they would always use as like an anthem of when they were coming back out. Now, there are trombone solos in this song that Diana Ross, like I said, was not happy with the original mix when it came out. So she was not happy, and she took the credits away from the performers in here. It took a while before her and Rodgers mended their professional relationship, and they were eventually recredited afterwards. So she was not happy when this first came out with the way it originally came out in the mix. And let's just say things got a little bit better, but she was a little diva-ish at the beginning until things could be corrected to her liking. As I said, this is number five. I'm coming out.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is going to be number 4 of November 1980. This was coming down from its number 1 peak of a couple weeks ago. This is Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. This was written by John Deacon, their bassist. It was also on the Game LP, and this was their last number 1 and one of their last few top 40 hits. I mean, there was Under Pressure that came out in a year later, but that was a duet with David Bowie, as you know. And after that one, they really bubbled under the charts. They were bigger hit in Europe for a while. They still did well in Europe. They did have the little comeback around 1984 or 5 with the Live Aid performance that we all remember, seen in movies and whatever. But this was coming off Queen's peak. Not their artistic peak, but their chart-topping peak. But that doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean that they were any worse. It just means times are changing and everything was changing, but the band was still around. Freddie Mercury, until his untimely death in 1991, was around, and they kept making music. And this is, like I said, one of their better known hits. This song is very different, along with the other one that we had discussed earlier, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. It's like they were trying different things more than just an arena rock sound. This was almost like they wanted to use synthesizers and different kind of beats music, which wasn't really popular at the time, but they were kind of experimenting with. So this song, I don't know if y'all know, this was also the song that they wanted to use in a Rocky 3, but they couldn't get the rights, so they ended up using Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. So you can see this song has well-reaching legs and very influential to this day. So let's take a quick listen to Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Another one bites the dust.
was number four, Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. And now we will move on to our number three song, The Wanderer by Donna Summer. This was a return from her 1978 album, Last Dance. She had kind of went back to her original vocal style of a more soft whispering vocals and more whispery kind of tonal style that she used in her early albums, not so much the powerful vocals that she'd used in Last Dance and Bad Girls. This was her first album for Geffen Records after she left the imploding label Casablanca Records. After Neil Bogart had sniffed and blown away all the profits and basically run that label into the ground, she moved on to Geffen. She kept her original production team of Giorgio Moroder and Paul Bellotti, who helped her write and produce the song. This song also has very heavy new wave synth styles, which were beginning to be used. So this is a little bit of a portent of the synth styles that were going to take over in the next couple years afterwards. This was her only hit afterwards. And this is like until another one, She Works Hard for the Money, came out in 84, 85. This was her last, this was kind of her in-between hit. So it was the one hit off this album and the album did okay. This is at its peak of number three this week. So let's hear and take a quick listen to The Wanderer.
Woke up this morning, dragged myself across the bed. Alice went to Wonderland, but I stayed home instead. I started feeling bad, cause I was left behind, cause I'm a wanderer. I'm a wanderer. She clapped right through the mirror, oh, that really blew my mind. I think I follow through her rhythm and her rhyme. I know I'm ready now, it's just a little time, cause I'm a wanderer. Now they won't see me anymore, cause I can't take that 9-to-5 life as a bore, cause I'm a wanderer. Yeah, just a wanderer. And so it's up and out and on and off the road. Won't have no troubles cause the whole world is my home. No need to worry cause I seldom am alone, cause I'm a wanderer. I'm a wanderer. Cause I'm a wanderer, I travel every place. Cause I'm a wanderer, from here to outer space. Cause I'm a wanderer, got no time. Cause I'm a wanderer, ooh, just a wanderer. Now you may see me anytime and any place, and you may know me from that same look on your face. And I don't know if I could change your frame of mind, cause I'm a wanderer.
Cause I'm a wanderer, I travel every place. Cause I'm a wanderer, from here to outer space. Cause I'm a wanderer.
That was Donna Summer, The Wanderer, number 3. And now we will go on to our number 2 song. This is Woman in Love by Barbra Streisand. And one of the things I do want to mention, because it actually came up in one of the other songs on this list, is when, at this point, disco was becoming less of a force. I will not say disco died, as I have said before on another one of these podcasts. It really didn't die. It just changed forms. So people that were opposed to it or didn't like it could stop attacking it for really weak and stupid reasons. That being said, some of the top acts, when disco stopped being a mega chart and economic force in the music industry, were the Bee Gees and Nile Rodgers and Bernard Herrmann of Chic. All of them went on to keep their careers going in different ways. They actually all turned to producing and writing for other artists. You heard on I'm Coming Out by Donna Summer, Nile Rodgers and Bernard Herrmann began doing that. Nile Rodgers himself would have a very long and storied career doing that. He is one of the styles that I come to realize I really like. When I sometimes in songs you don't even know that he's had a hand in them. And we will discuss some of them later. It's just amazing. The other one on that is the Bee Gees and Barry Gibb. After their gigantic hits of Saturday Night Fever and their follow-up, Spirits Having Flown, they kind of like pulled back because it was too much, and then the offer started because of all the other crap. But one person that did come up to them at first to start producing and writing their, helping them collaborate music, was Barbra Streisand. And this song, Woman in Love, was written by Barry Gibb and Robin Gibb and produced by them as well. So she loved their music and wanted them to help her with this album. There's another song, I don't think it may come up later. I'm not sure if it was a top 5 or not. Guilty was another one off of this album that he had a hand in as well. But this was a number one hit. It was number one for 3 weeks, starting at the end of October and into November, before it had fallen back down to where we are now at number 2. So Barry Gibb and went on to do tons of producing. I don't want to get into them now because we're going to come across them later. So we don't want to have material that we don't have anymore. But this was the collaboration with Barbra Streisand, and Guilty, and she has a major chart hit. And then this one, which was the number one, began his very storied and long career as a producer and writer of music, as well as being a performer from the Bee Gees. So here we go. Let's take a quick listen to Woman in Love.
I stumble and fall, but I give you it all.
That was Woman in Love by Barbra Streisand, number 2 on our top 5 of November of 1980. We have now reached our number 1 position of November of 1980. This song was written by Lionel Richie. This was the first and only solo number 1 of this artist's career. And it would end up spending 6 weeks in the number 1 spot. The song is Lady by Kenny Rogers. This is also has one of the other little quirks that's neat about it. It was the first song ever to reach number 1 on all 4 charts, the Hot 100, the Black Music charts, the Country Music charts, and the Adult Contemporary charts. As I said, Lionel was at this time still with the Commodores. They had a delay in their tour because of an accident with the drummer, and they were contacted by Kenny's manager to see if he would like to do a collaboration, as he liked them. So Lionel wrote the song for him. He didn't want him to use any like tricks or amplifiers or synthesizers because he thought Kenny's lyrics and voice would all they would need. They didn't need any gimmicks. This was a very, as I just saw, a very big hit for Kenny, and also did very well for Lionel as well, because he ended up running into another manager, which he would use for the rest of his solo career, and would also help him with We Are the World, which would be another big one for them as well. As I said, this was Kenny Rogers' only solo number 1 hit. We had talked earlier about a top 5 hit he had had with Coward of the County at the beginning of this year, but this was his number 1. And he did have another number 1, but that would end up being a duet, as I just talked about before, written by Barry Gibb and Dolly Parton, which we'll get to later. So here we are, the number 1 song for this month, November 1980. This is Lady.
Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you. You have made me what I am, I am yours. My love, there's so many ways I want to say I love you. Let me hold you in my arms forevermore. You have gone and made me such a fool. I'm so lost in your love, and oh, we belong together. Won't you believe in my song? lady. For so many years I thought I'd never find you. You have come into my life and made me whole. Forever, let me wake to see you each and every morning. Let me hear you whisper softly in my ear. In my eyes, I see no one else but you. There's no other love like I love. And yes, oh yes, I'll always want you. I've waited for you for so long, lady. Your love's the only love I need, and beside me I want you to be. 'Cause my love, there's something I want you to know. You're the love of my life. You're my lady.
That was our number one song for this month, Lady, by Kenny Rogers. I want to thank you all for joining me for this top five countdown for November 1980. As I said, my next episode will be more of a personal jaunt around 80s music, not so much a strict countdown, and then, of course, we'll go back to the countdown after that. I want to thank you all for listening and putting up with my little breaks now and then. I'm not doing this for money. I just do this for fun, and I'm sure there's a couple people out there that listen, and I appreciate it. However, I would appreciate it if you do just give me a call. Not a call. Drop me a line. Let me know how you like it. How is it going on? If you enjoy me doing the full songs now, so it's more like top five countdown with a radio DJ with no experience, I will love to hear from you, and hopefully we'll see you come back, and we can go take another jaunt down 1980s musical lane and reminisce, or if you haven't heard these before, check out some new older music. Once again, thank you for listening to 80s Pop Tops. You have a great week, and I'll talk to you again.